This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Annual Pass. This is the podcast where we talk about all things theme park, attractions, shows, snacks, foods, anything having to do with theme park related content. It's on this podcast. I am your host, Jack Patillo, and of course, joining me, as always, is my beautiful, lovely, and talented co-host, Jeff Ramsey. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't know if we ever cut to you while you're mirroring my intro.
Yeah, I always mock you when you're doing your intro. And I'll say today,
That's a bit redundant.
You mixed it up a little bit. And so it was a little hard for me to mock you. I was having trouble keeping up.
So that's the thing. I got to throw a little curveball your way every time we do it.
You do something that I find to be very impressive.
What's
in all seriousness, every time we do this show, you rattle off with about 95% precision the same intro.
Really?
Yeah, just off the top of your head. It's not written down.
I had something, but I never look at it. I know the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And then once I start listing off the bullet points, that's when it kind of, whatever's the top
your
of my
order
head.
Was a little weird today, but usually it's like dead on, which makes it easy for me to mimic you as you're doing it, because I've heard the script.
You've heard the script. Our writers getting lazy is what it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. We got a fun one today. We got a ride. We're going to be talking about Men in Black Alien Attack, which is a ride you've been on.
I've been on it, yeah.
Which is going to be a lot of fun. And, before we get to that, though, thank you again, everyone, all the pass holders out there who are listening right now. You guys are the greatest. We love you very much. It means a lot. Thank you for all the comments over on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/annualpass. Very excited to have that up and running now. Don't forget, we also have some cool merchandise in the store. We've got a new poster. We've got a new pin. That Christmas pin is so cool. I love that pin. Do you have one yet? Have they given you one yet?
I do. I have. Are you talking about the snow globe?
The snow globe.
Yeah. I like it so much that I just have it on my nightstand.
No.
So I see it every day.
So I'm actually going to Disney a week from today.
This
is recorded. This is coming out on New Year's, actually. So this is December 30th when I'm releasing this.
So when are you going to be in Disney?
I'm going the 16th through the 23rd.
So this comes out during the week.
I'm back.
Break where you're not in Disney.
Yeah. So at this point, I'll be back in town.
This episode is bookended by two Disney trips for you.
Yeah. So, I'm going to Disney with my family, which is the first time, my entire family. So my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephews, Katie and I, we're all going to Disney together. That should be interesting. We're all staying in an Airbnb all together. So
now,
we'll see how that goes.
Now, this is a thing where your family does this a lot. This is just the first time they've invited specifically you, right?
Well,
Katie gets the invite every year.
Yeah.
This year,
I guess we should do that.
Extended the offer.
I'm excited, though, because my nephews, Blaze and Silas, so they're 8 and 10. They're now really getting into theme parks. They're actually big fans of the show, so they listen to the show. So I'm always in my head, would I say this to Blaze and Silas in person? And that's usually kind of my line of how mature do we want that?
I would say stuff to Blaze and Silas that would not be appropriate for the show.
I know. But anyway, so that's going to be fun going out there, checking out all the Disney parks again and whatnot. And then I'm going in January. So a week and a half from today, if you're listening to this when we release it, going out there for the marathon, the Disney marathon. I'm still training for right now. And at this point, I believe I will be tapering is what it's called, which is where you actually kind of stop doing heavy workout. You kind of let your body rebuild. And then, I did a 17-mile run last week, and it was tough. It was tough. Though I figured it out. I figured it out. The way I do it is, we had so much to talk about. The way I do it is I break my run down into segments. I'm doing interval running is what it's called. So you run and then you walk, run, walk. I do kilometers just because it's a little bit more granular, and I know I can do 2K and then walk a K. So the idea is I run 2K and I walk a K. So that's 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
A marathon is roughly 42K, which means there are 14 of those segments that I've got to do.
That's so many.
Over the course of 7 hours. Yeah. I have 7 hours to finish it, really closer to 8, but anyway, 7 hours. I did 17 miles, which is basically 9 of those segments. And I did 8 of them okay, and the 9th one, my body was like, we're done, thanks. And I was like, uh-oh. And so that was tough. I'm doing one more really long run. I'm doing a 20-mile run next weekend. Actually, the weekend I get back. So Christmas Day, I'm going to go do a 20-mile run around Town Lake. And that'll be my longest I'll do before I do the marathon. And that is 11 segments.
What a lovely present to yourself on Christmas Day.
Oh man, it's gonna be rough.
That's exciting.
It's I'm pretty excited for it. Like the more I look into it, like I got an email now with like all of the running information, and it's like here's a packet and all that. It's like I'm getting into it. They've released the maps now, so I know where I'm gonna be running through.
Oh, what are you most excited about?
I'm excited. We start like the first 5 miles is in Epcot, so you like run, like you start because it's 5 a.m. so it's not open yet. So they have you running through the park, and then you leave there. You go from there all the way up to Magic Kingdom. And then you leave Magic Kingdom, go down to, I want to say, Hollywood Studios next, and then Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom, and then Hollywood Studios, then back to Epcot for the finish.
So at what point do people, because if it's, it's cool that it happens before it's open, but yeah. I think one of the things that, as a person who has only ever run when the military made him, I feel like it probably is super beneficial to have the passerbys like cheering you on and end. So at what point do they let will they let Katie and your family in or whoever to watch you and cheer you on and throw water at you?
There are certain like areas where they have spectators. So like literally you run through Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom. So you run through the entrance of the park. Mm-hmm. You take a right through Tomorrowland and go through Fantasyland in the back, and then you run through the castle, like, towards the entrance, and then out by Frontierland and out the exit that way, through, like, a cast member exit. They have it where spectators can be down Main Street USA. So, like, literally, they can be there on Main Street USA yelling
at 5 a.m.?
I mean, well, probably around 7 a.m. or so. I mean, I'm sure they open it pretty early because some of the early runners, they're booking it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll finish in under 3 hours.
I was about to say that brings up a good question. What shot do you think you have at winning?
I'm going to give myself a 2% shot.
2%,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think so. Finishing is my goal for this year, but I've really enjoyed it. I've been running a lot the past 6 months or so. And I've watched my time slowly shrink and get smaller and smaller, and I feel stronger and stronger. And I did a turkey trot marathon, a 5 mile run on Thanksgiving Day, like Thanksgiving morning. I went and did that, and I ran the whole 5 miles like without stopping. And it was like, oh wow, that actually felt really good. And I had like my best times ever. I was like, okay, this is good. And something about running with a crowd just gives you more energy, and there's people cheering. It's like
absolutely,
that's the kind of stuff where I'm like, I'm excited for that when I get to Disney. But anyway,
Yeah. Do you One thing to consider as well you would have to train less if you spent a little bit of time using your considerable brain power, of which you have. You're a very smart man.
Sometimes.
Figuring out a way to make shin splints a communicably transmitted disease. And then you could infect the rest of your racers with shin splints, and then you could just walk it.
I do. I appreciate that your thought process is, how can I injure other people and make it easier on me? Instead of me getting better, it's...
Well, it works in tandem.
Yeah.
You know?
So, oh, wow. Thank you very much, everyone, again, for listening. Don't forget to grab our stuff, store.roosterteeth.com. Follow us on social media, annual_pass on Twitter and Instagram as well. Man, dude, I love those thumbnails. I keep seeing, like, we have a Discord channel.
They're the best.
You're not in the Discord channel, but I have a friend helping with the social media stuff, and then we've got Gail Fox who does all of our art, and then Ben and I are in there, and it's awesome. It's like we geek out about theme park stuff. You can join the channel if you want.
Oh, I'm good. I do love the thumbnails though.
Yeah.
I love them when they come through on Slack.
I'm very excited. I love talking about that stuff. So today we are talking about a ride. We talked a lot about Disney just now, but we are going to go back to Universal Studios, Jeff.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's a marathon, not a sprint. Eh?
Hey. So in the release schedule, this episode's coming out after our Dave Cobb interview. So Dave Cobb, we talked to him last week. He was an awesome, awesome dude.
I like Dave very much.
Yeah. And so Dave was the creative director on Men in Black Alien Attack Universal Studios. Watch your microphone there.
I hit it.
And so I figured, hey, why not talk about the ride he developed?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I was like, let's get into it. Since we talked to him and the cool thing is I was going through doing my research I do for every episode. And when I was talking or when I was looking over stuff, I was just watching videos. And one was this fascinating video. It was a 20-minute video on how to max out your score on Men in Black Alien Attack.
And what is the max? It's like 9999?
Yeah, 6-9. So 999999.
Okay. And, 6 times 9 is what?
6 times 9 is 54.
Good job.
And So anyway, I was watching this video. It's this kid. It's the Orlando Tourist. This is a YouTube channel. You check him out.
Okay.
And it was just fascinating watching. Like, I love watching other theme park content.
You keep calling him a kid. Now, are you calling him a kid in the way that you're like in your late 30s, about to be 40, and everybody under like 35 is a kid?
He looks young.
Or is
young.
He like 12?
I mean, he's not 12, but he looks young. Like, okay. I would say he's in his teens, probably.
It's so funny. Everybody under 40 is a kid to me.
Yeah,
and when I
turn
50, probably everybody under 40 or 50 will be a kid.
Man, I went to a football game actually with Ben not too long ago. We actually went to a UT game, and seeing all of like the college kids, it was like, oh my god, these are all children.
I know.
Like I remember being on college, and like, yeah, I'm the king of the world. Now I'm like, oh, these are all 12-year-old children.
What? There's a really nice bike path through UT on Rio Grande.
Okay.
It's like one of the best bike paths in Austin. Mm. So I ride it a lot going from south to north if I'm on a long bike ride, which I'm currently not right now because my body is
giving up.
Completely given up. Yeah. But someday with apparently a lot of intensive physical therapy in my future, I was told, I'll get back on that bike. Don't you worry. However, anyway, I was going to say, when I ride through Rio Grande, I feel like I'm riding through a middle school. It is crazy. Yeah.
Pretty wild.
It is crazy.
So this guy. So anyway, I was watching this YouTube video and it was a fascinating video. He actually explained some like tips. We'll get into those later about like what you should shoot at to get high scores and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then I noticed he had like in his related videos, he did an interview with Dave Cobb. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he was actually it was the 20th anniversary of Men in Black. And he was there and Dave Cobb was there because Dave Cobb's an awesome dude. And it's very supportive of his ride.
I think he mentioned he told a story from that trip on his interview. And I assume it was that trip.
So the Orlando Tourist just happened to be there, too. And he's like, oh, Dave Cobb, can I talk to you? And he ended up talking to him. He's a super sweet kid. And it was a really good interview. And so I mentioned that to Dave on Twitter. And I was like, hey, man, like I saw this video. Just want to say, you know, a big shout out. We're actually doing the Men in Black attraction the next episode. And he's like, oh, just send me your notes and I'll give you any like updates or facts or any like, and if you've got anything wrong, I'll let you know. I was like, okay, Dave, thank you, man.
Once again, wonderful guy.
Yeah. So I usually my notes are like just scribble. It's like, you know, like a doctor's equivalent of notes about theme parks where it's just garbage. Mm-hmm. But I understand it. I comprehend it. So I actually had to sort of like make it look nice and then send it over to him. And then he sent back a bunch of like, oh, this is actually, you need to tweak this. And here's a couple more cool things. And so it was really neat.
You were very dumb about this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You complete idiot. No, he would never say that. So Men in Black, Alien Attack. I apologize in advance. We interviewed Dave about a month ago. And so we probably said stuff in that interview last week that I'm going to repeat this episode.
Of course.
I'll just let you know right now because there's a lot of cool stories, a lot of cool facts I'm sure we brought up before that I'm going to mention again because I get excited and I haven't listened to that interview since we did it. So Universal Studios opened on June 7th, 1990, and it was the only park that Universal had in Florida. Very classic ride the movies kind of thing. That was their big thing, ride the movies. They had Jaws, Confrontation, all these great things. Went really, really well to the point where the 90s were sort of the renaissance for theme parks in on the planet, really. So during that sort of the 90s period, we had openings of parks constantly. We had Hollywood Studios was 1989, but we had Universal Studios, we had Animal Kingdom, we had Islands of Adventure open May 28th, 1999. You had Tokyo Disney. No, maybe Tokyo Disney was earlier. But there was another Disney Seas, I think, opened at that time as well. All of these amazing theme parks all opening around the 90s. And Islands of Adventure was opening up in Florida. And Universal was like, we need to make sure Universal Studios, which is next door, doesn't lose lots and lots of eyes because of the new park. We want to make sure people still go to the old park as well. Mm-hmm. Let's build a new attraction over there. So at the time, the back corner where Men in Black now rest used to actually be the set for Swamp Thing.
The TV show. Okay.
So it was just kind of like this. It was kind of, whoa, my voice went there. It was kind of like this wooded, like swampy area that they did exterior shots and stuff. It rested between the Wild West stunt show and Back to the Future. Kind of a big gap there.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need to drop something right there. And so at the time, initially, it was going to be a number of different things. They had a few different things for it. Some concepts they had over there. They were looking at an Apollo 13 ride based off the movie. Which would be terrible. They were looking at a Dark Simpsons ride, which they ended up doing later. And then they actually, for a bit of time, looked at a Stephen King ride based off like Stephen King novels.
So that's
like
interesting.
It and like Shining and a bunch of other stuff. Ultimately, Men in Black came out around this time. It was a huge success. And, you know, Steven Spielberg is, you know, highly, you know, visible in the parks. Jaws was there already. Back to the Future was there already. They're like, why don't we get Men in Black in the park? So they're like, all right, let's build a Men in Black ride. And on April 14th of the year 2000, Men in Black Alien Attack opened at Universal Studios.
So they opened the park in 1990.
Yes.
And realized they needed a new ride. It took them 10 years to make this ride.
Well, I mean, technically, around 10 years. But, I mean, they needed something. I'm trying to think of what changed or what they added or what they moved around during that time. Because that wasn't the only ride that got added over the course of the first 10 years of Universal.
I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You say it opened in 1990, and when it did, I mean, Universal Studios in California existed at that point, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there parity between the two? Like, did they just rebuild Universal Studios California in Florida with the same rides?
There were a lot of similar things. The one in Florida is definitely more of a theme park.
Okay.
The one in Hollywood, the reason Universal Hollywood got started, it literally was just the backlot tour.
Yeah.
It was just a tram tour. You would go visit the studio, ride the tram tour. They'd take you around the actual working movie studios. And then, you know, at the end, you were done. That was it.
I mean, I feel like we talked a lot about that in that interview.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately, they started adding more attractions, more rides. They actually had a really cool Backdraft attraction there.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it was interesting because it actually caught fire. Like, that was one of the things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it actually caught fire and partially burnt down after a few months of it being open. We'll talk about that one. If you know Universal Hollywood, that's now, I believe, where Transformers sits. It was in that building. It's
okay.
Like down the lower lot in the back corner. Great attraction. Really, really dug that one. That one never made it over to Florida. But Florida also had the Twister ride, or Twister Ride It Out, which we've talked about before. That never made it to Hollywood. So they have differing things.
So they got Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
And California got
Kirk Cameron. That's not right. Yeah, Kirk Douglas.
Snake Plissken.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Kirk Douglas.
Wait, Kirk Douglas is old. Michael Douglas? No. Michael Douglas is Ant-Man, or is Hank Pym. Oh, gosh. Russell Crowe.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook. James Harden. Oh, my gosh. Why can't I think of his name? Why can't I think of Snake Plissken's name?
It's okay, because...
Why can't I think of Ego's name from Men in Black?
We'll
Men in
cut
Black.
This out.
No, this is all going in.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. I thought I said Kurt Russell.
Did you say Kurt Russell?
What did I say? Ben, did you hear me?
I'm not going to lie. I've completely lost the thread. You guys have just been throwing names out left.
You kept
right.
saying Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas. Okay.
Yeah, it's Kurt Russell.
Okay, Kurt Russell. Anyway,
everybody should see the thing. One of the best movies ever made.
I do appreciate you went for a Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton thing and then just completely missed one of them.
I can't remember. I get Pullman and Paxton confused. But it was Paxton in...
Paxton was in Twister.
In Twister.
Pullman was in Independence Day.
Yes.
Which they haven't made a ride for. They should make a ride for.
Pullman was in Mr. Wrong.
He was also
I always loved that movie.
He was in Casper, the Friendly Ghost.
Oh,
well,
that's right.
With Christina Ricci.
The actual Ghostbusters reference in that.
That's
yeah.
true. I think Dan Aykroyd and...
Bill Murray was in it.
Was Bill Murray in
it? Yeah, I think he was one of the ones.
Huh.
He ran out of the house.
Anyway, go see Afterlife. It's fantastic.
I'm seeing it Saturday.
Oh, it's such a good movie. I think you'll like it.
I think I will, too.
I think you'll like it.
I like the last one.
So anyway, now let's get back. Speaking of aliens, let's get back to it. So... At this point, they were like, hey, let's open up a new attraction. Men in Black is what they landed on, right? And so they started building up the building. The budget for the attraction was about $70 million, which is about right. With
so
that,
much money.
It was originally going to... So initially, another thing they were concepting for, like the last thing before they swapped it over to Men in Black, they were going to use that area for the Jurassic Park ride because the Jurassic Park ride opened in Hollywood. The water ride, the one splashdown, that one opened in Hollywood, and they were like, we want to bring this one to Florida, and that's where it was going to be. It was going to be in that back corner where Men in Black is now, and then they were like, oh, well, we're doing this islands thing. We'll do a Jurassic Park whole land.
Mm.
And so it ended up over there. And then after that, it ended up being the Men in Black. The ride system they used, initially, Dave talked about this a little bit, about how they went over, they were like, we need to use a ride system that exists because we don't have the money to build a new one. We're trying to save cash on this thing. And so they went to Islands of Adventure before it was open, and there were two ride systems that were up in the air. It was either going to be the Spider-Man ride system, the scoop vehicle, as you know, or the Cat in the Hat system, which is a much simpler system, but it works.
We did that one, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, of course, like Dave said last week, the Spider-Man one was great, but the problem was it was much more of a focused kind of you're looking at one thing, and it moved around so much that to try to hit targets, it was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And they were like, this isn't going to work. Cat in the Hat, it was more open. So you have more degrees of freedom, so you can look around. It's not as focused, a little bit slower, and they could also control the turning of the vehicle, which is really all they needed anyway. So they ended up going with Cat in the Hat. They modified the vehicle a little bit, made it a little bit more fancy. There are two computers inside of the actual vehicles, one that controls the movement and then one that controls the scoring, the gaming of it. Because basically you're playing, it's a shooting gallery, is what Men in Black is. The Space Ranger Spin, which is an attraction over at Magic Kingdom, and I think it's at a few Disney parks now. It's another similar kind of shooting gallery type game where it's like
Space Ranger Spin,
Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin.
Ah, okay.
And it's a similar game where it's like you have guns but they're not free. They're kind of like locked into the vehicle. And turns out the same company that worked on Space Ranger Spin worked on Men in Black. It's the same laser tech on both. It's not the exact same system, but the same company worked on both of them at the same time.
Do you think that the explosion of theme parks, what do you attribute, rather? I have an initial thought that I was wondering earlier. I was wondering if you'd tell me if this sounds like nonsense or corroborate it. But what do you attribute the explosion of theme parks to in the 90s?
Man, that's a great question. I'm not positive. I think maybe the 90s was sort of it was like this sort of slew of kids came up because we had the boomers had a lot of children. And so the boomers started having kids and they had a decent amount of money, so they're able to take trips, more family vacations. And I think in particular Florida became a very, very attractive destination. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Magic Kingdom had been around for a while, but it was now the point where it's like, people who grew up knowing of Magic Kingdom in Florida were like, oh, it'll be cool. Like they went there as a kid, maybe, it was much more rare to take, multiple trips or a lot of trips. Like they went there as a kid. And then when they had children, they were like, oh, I had a really good time. And I think the economy was a lot better at that time. And it was easier to go. And you had people going more and more on these trips.
It's kind of like a cumulative effect, I guess, of like you introduce a generation to it and then they want to introduce their next generation to it. And then I was wondering if maybe it had anything to do with the explosion of IP at the same time. Because if you think about it, we're having Pixar is taking off. Comic books are coming into the mainstream in a way that they hadn't, superheroes in a way they hadn't before. We've got the Harry Potters of the world. I feel like there was just like an explosion, and it probably had a lot to do with, television as a medium was kind of in an explosive phase. There's a million TV channels. There's 10 billion shows and movies being made where there weren't.
Well, I will say,
30
years
ago,
the Disney Channel was one of the first real cable channels. Yeah. And so I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. I mean, the Mickey Mouse Club was actually shot at Disney's Hollywood Studios, at the time Disney MGM Studios, in Florida.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, I remember the commercials for Universal Studios, like, come ride the movies, and like where the Universal logo and had all the different things popping up behind it, and like seeing that neon sign spelling out Universal. Like, I still vividly remember that stuff. And so I don't know if maybe we were just bombarded with that kind of stuff when we were kids, and it was like, oh, hey, go to Florida. Go.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of that as well. But
I think you're right, though, about the generational thing, because it does feel like now, like there is another, like COVID really affected it. But I think that sort of every 15 to 20 year jump, I think it's happening again right now. And it would have hit a lot harder. But unfortunately, things kind of took a turn. And so now things have been delayed a bit because like Universal's opening a new park. Disney's constantly getting bigger.
You say it would have hit harder. I wonder if maybe it will hit even harder than it could have. Yeah. But just delayed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like we have this pent up want to travel right now.
Yeah. Yeah. People are clamoring for any opportunity to experience some escapism out in the world.
Yeah. Possibly. So getting back to the attraction here, sorry, this is a very fun conversation. I love having in-depth conversations.
That's what this podcast, the podcast is whatever you want it to be.
We'll get Kevin Perger back on here and just talk about this. That dude was
that's
so
a great
smart.
Idea.
And
that's absolutely
a future episode. The company that worked on Space Ranger Spin also worked on this, and the same thing with the sensors. So, and on Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, it's very clearly targets with like a little logo, and it's like, shoot that. And the designers at Universal were like, oh, that's a little, it sort of takes you out of the attraction. It makes you forget about everything around you. You're just kind of looking for targets. So instead of doing targets, they actually made it where there are sensors inside all of the animatronics. Mm-hmm. So there's aliens all over the place you have to shoot, and there's sensors all over their faces and bodies and eyes. And so you're just firing at these animatronics instead of at a target.
It's like NPC laser tag.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a shooting gallery. It's a rolling shooting gallery is the whole thing. There are over 120 animatronics. Okay, so here's one of the corrections Dave sent me. Over 120 animatronics, and initially I said that over 80 of them were created specifically by the Universal Creative Team.
Can I just say real fast?
Yes.
According to the AP style guide, you should say more than.
More than. Yeah. I'm sorry. Fewer than. Anyway, he says no animatronics from the movie were used at all. They'd never survived daily operation. We did use the wormy guys and control room aliens from the film, but those were all custom sculpted and engineered and built specifically for the attraction. We didn't use any actual film assets because none existed. All other aliens were designed specifically for the ride, all original. So I guess he's saying like they're all from.
That's very cool.
Which is really, really neat because. This is one of those things, like, I watch a lot of other, you know, like, theme park history, a lot of other, you know, YouTube channels to get my facts, and a lot of them kind of repeat the same information. So here he is stepping in and saying, no, we made them all.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But yes, the wormy guys who are in it, the little, you know, like, those guys, they're in it in the queue, and so you'll see them for sure. Let me get back to my notes here. The building itself was over 70,000 square feet. Which made it the largest building at Universal Studios at the time, and actually one of the largest dark rides on the planet at that time.
What is the largest dark ride on the planet?
At this point, I don't know. I mean, that one's still got to be up there. 70K is huge.
70,000 is huge.
Some patents leaked this week of what they're doing at Epic Universe. Mm-hmm. They're doing a Universal...
Can a patent leak, or did somebody just go look it up?
I think someone found it.
I don't think it's hidden.
They're doing a Universal Monsters, like the classic monsters, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, mm-hmm. Dracula. They're doing a dark ride that's going to be similar to the Harry Potter ride, the bench on the arm, mm-hmm. and so some like images or you know the patent sketches leaked out of that, and it's like, oh, that's so cool! I'm excited for that. So anyway, that's going to be massive. I'm sure that whole area is going to be so big.
Lot you can do with those properties. You know what I mean? Seriously, yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then no one's really touched them except for like Halloween Horror Night stuff. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
Speaking of, I don't want to make this a podcast about anything other than what we're supposed to be talking about, which is Men in Black. But you mentioned earlier that there was some traction early on or some consideration to Stephen King IP.
Yes.
And now that you think about it, that's been stuck in my head since you mentioned it, kind of in the back of my head, itching at me. And why don't we have Stephen King rides? Why don't we have Stephen King Halloween Horror Nights? Like the guy has... a million properties for them to choose from.
I want to say they've done, Ben, if you want to look it up, I want to say they've done some Stephen King Halloween Horror. I want to say it has been there before.
Carrie could be really a cool thing to play around with.
Carrie be a lot
Cycle
of fun.
Of the Werewolf.
Cujo.
Oh, God, Salem's Lot.
Think about a Cujo animatronics, just giant dogs
the
jumping
Tommy
at you.
Knockers, like
Langoliers.
So much, Langoliers, I mean, great. There's so much material there.
Yeah, and just they do a long walk one where it's just a treadmill.
Gerald's Game. Not that one.
Pet Cemetery. Anyway, we're just listing off Stephen King. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff they could do. Ben, any luck on finding any Halloween Horror Nights Stephen King theme stuff?
So apparently they did The Shining in 2017.
Oh.
Very cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't seen too much.
Was it the Jack Nicholson one? Or was
the guy from Wings?
Was it David Weber or was it the other guy?
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's probably the Jack Nicholson one. That's the one they did Dr. Sleep based off mm-hmm. of. Anyway, so here's a fun thing, Jeff. Okay. So, you know, the facade of Men in Black Alien Attack is made to look like this World's Fair type thing. That's sort of the shtick of the ride is you're going to like this classic World's Fair thing where it's like, oh, let's talk about the universe. And then, you know, at the end of it, it's like, oh, turns out we're alone. Ha ha. And, you know, you kind of back to it. They had a bunch of different ideas of what to do with the sort of how they get you into the attraction. And I love some of these. One of the initial ones was it was made to look like the Orlando International Airport. And it was like, oh, you're going home and you actually get on a tram. And as you're on the tram, it diverts you to the Men in Black training facility. And at the end, you show up and it's like, I think like you exit the Miami airport or something.
That's funny.
Which is kind of cool. Dave actually gave me some more stuff on that. He said, one version was going to end at the airport as the original neutralization gag, but that version's entry wasn't the airport, but rather the battery vent tunnel building. So, you know, in the movie, they have that giant vent tunnel, the dude's sitting there reading a paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to go through that and end up at the airport at the end of it. The big concrete facade that was the entry to Men in Black in the movie. Neither really worked, so we kept iterating. One iteration ended at the Tropicana Orange Juice Factory tour. Because Universal was owned by Seagram's at the time, who owned Tropicana. Not an edict on high, mind you. We just thought it was funny. So, that's kind of like, where are we? Why are we at an orange juice tour? Okay. That's pretty great.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
The current bookend of the World's Fair Pavilion just made sense, and it was related to the film's ending at the fair site and gave us more of a beautiful exterior than the movie entrance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty funny. Like, I love that idea, though, because the whole idea of, like, you know, you end up somewhere you're not supposed to be, and then you reappear somewhere you're not supposed to be. Like, absolutely. I love that. And it was a lot of fun. It's cool that they played with that those concepts a lot, too.
I also love that he's like, nah, we just thought it was funny.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. One neat thing they don't talk about, it's not really publicly announced, but there's immigration tours you can do. So if it's a slow day at the park and they have enough cast members, Universal is team members.
Right.
You can go to a team member and say, hey, can we have an immigration tour? And they'll take you down to the area down low where they have all the computers set up and they have like and Bob, like the two aliens that run the computer. You can go down there and actually like get a tour of the facility, which is kind of
really?
Cool.
Yeah, have you done it?
I have not. So I want to check that out the next time we go. Absolutely do it.
Absolutely.
The ride itself is about 4.5 minutes long, which is a decently long attraction. And it can hold up to about 44 vehicles on the actual track at the same time. They launch roughly 4 at the same time. Six riders per vehicle for about 2,200 riders an hour, which is that's a decent number, you know.
How many spins do you do?
I think guaranteed at least 3.
Okay.
Well, I guess at the end you kind of whip around a whole lot, so maybe 4 or 5. But then, like you said, like, you know, you bring it up, like part of the thing is you can actually shoot your opponents and actually spin their vehicle,
yeah,
too.
And yeah,
just big numbers in that, apparently. You get a lot of points for hitting that exhaust port, too.
Oh.
So that's one of the things I learned. So, but that's it for sort of my history. We'll get into the fun facts. But before we get to the fun facts, Jeff, would you like to go with me to Universal Studios Florida and ride Men in Black Alien Attack?
Well, I already did that with you.
Would you like to recount our,
yes!
our trip? All right. Hey, let's do it. All right, Jeff, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let me get all this prepped. I'm ready to go. Jeff!
Jack, let's eat at the B restaurant. I'm hungry.
No, it's not there. It's like they made the M and the I, but not the B.
Ah.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. Hey, where's the Men in Black Alien Attack, Jeff?
I'm so excited. I'm hungry.
Yeah, okay, let's go inside. Okay, Jeff, when we went before, this time, let's pretend they're doing the whole pre-show because they didn't do it when we were there before because the COVID stuff.
But right.
We're going to pretend. Hey, okay, Jeff, we're waiting in line. We're in the queue. We're in the queue. Okay, Jeff, now, okay, we're through the queue now, and now we're inside, like, this entrance thing, and it's a room where guys like, oh, we're going to talk. Let's talk about the universe.
The
universe and like the planets and stuff.
I love it.
It's like, ooh, all fun music. And, well, Jeff, the music stopped. And, well, it's Zed. It's Rip Torn.
Oh, hey.
And he's like, all right, recruits. Sorry about all this theme park stuff, but let's get inside the elevator now. And it's like, okay.
Who
okay.
knew you could do Rip Torn?
Make it very
good.
Make a gravelly voice and he could do it. And so anyway, so we get in the elevator and now it's like, oh, we've gotten in the elevator. No, whoa, this is a whole different thing. It's fake. It was a facade, Jeff. The whole thing was a facade. So now let's go down. Now we're in the tubes. And we're way underground in Florida. We're now at the Men in Black recruiting facility. Okay, we're walking down, Jeff. What so crazy? So there's lots of stuff. Okay, Jeff, what's that? What's that? It's look at this.
It's the oxygen free zone.
Look, it's the alien dudes. They're having coffee. They're like, oh yeah, like talking about soccer and stuff. I don't know, but look at them sitting there. It looks so cool. It's like they're actually there from the movie.
Just a water cooler moment.
There's the hanging out.
Love it.
Like, oh, look at all these recruits. And they're like, oh.
They're like, did you watch Seinfeld last night?
All right, Jeff, let's keep walking. Whoa, Jeff, look, it's blah, and Bob, the two aliens who, like, maintain the board, and they keep you on a 33-hour day or whatever it is. And you can see, like, oh, that's where all the people sat.
Oh, yeah.
And look, there's no one there right now, but that's okay. Okay, let's keep going around. Let's keep going around, Jeff. Okay, we're there. Oh, look, oh, we're in the armory. Jeff, it's the armory. That's all the different guns. Look at all these guns. I wonder which one we're going to have.
That's dangerous.
Well, I mean, they're probably okay. They're behind glass, so we can't get to them. Oh, man, look at all those weapons. That's
they
so
probably
cool.
have the trigger, the firing pins fired down.
That's probably
filed down.
All right, Jeff, we're going to keep going now. Whoa, look, we're in this big open room, Jeff. Look, you can see all the vehicles. We can see all the vehicles. We're gonna go. Okay, Jeff, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna lock
in. I'm ready.
Okay, do you want to be in the back row or the front row? It's 3 and 3.
Front row.
All right, cool. Get in the front row. That's good because you can move around a whole lot and fire things. Okay, Jeff, get your gun. Get your zapper. You ready? Okay, you're holding on to it. All right, here we go. Jeff, well, there's an alien under the stairs. We couldn't see him. No, he's friendly. He's letting us go.
Shoot him.
All right, it's a training facility, Jeff. It's training. Okay, so and here we go. It's like a lot of cutouts. Shoot the targets, Jeff. Shoot the targets. doing really good. Look at the ones hanging from the things. That's good. Whoa. Hey, wait, Jeff, that's Agent J. And he's like, hey recruits, we need help. So there's an alien crash site. We had to go. Now this is no longer training. Jeff, it's real life.
What?
It's real life. There's actual aliens, Jeff.
We're not certified.
Well, they needed bodies to shoot aliens. So let's go. All right, Jeff. Look at the alien ship. It's crashed down.
Oh, no.
He's popped out. Shoot him. Shoot him. Oh, no, bro. Okay, look, we're outside. It's like all these cool buildings, facades. Oh, look. If you look over to the right, it's Frank the Pug. I see Frank the Pug. He's over here somewhere. That's pretty cool.
Hey, I love that dog.
Who's that guy with the Jurassic Park hat? That's interesting. Okay. Whoa, look at all the guys.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. Look. Oh, we got shot and spun around. Whee! Daylands. Oh, man. There's so many aliens.
They're everywhere.
We have to shoot all of them. Like, what's your score right now?
17,475.
Good job. Oh, look at that giant alien squid thing Fish. In the window. That's wild. Okay, just keep firing, Jeff. Keep firing.
I'm firing. They're infiltrating the fish store.
Okay, Jeff, we've made it down this corridor. It's like that's like, no, don't fire me. I'm safe. And he goes, just kidding. And then he fires and spins us around. Okay. All right, got to a point, Jeff. It's actually gonna calm down for a second. Okay, we can see the other people. We can see the
shoot guests. Them. Shoot them.
No, don't shoot them. They could be
aliens.
People. Oh, it's scanning them. Oh, it's checking to see what they are, if they're good or bad or not. Mm. Okay, it's scanning them. Jeff, they're aliens!
I told you!
They're aliens! We have to shoot them, Jeff! That's dangerous.
Never trust other people. Shoot them.
All right, so Jeff, if we shoot their little exhaust port in the back, we can actually spin them around.
83,525 points.
Oh, we're doing so good. Keep shooting at them, Jeff. Keep shooting at them. Pew, 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 pew. Laser
How
guns.
Do you reload this thing? Pew, pew.
You don't have to. It's lasers. There's no cartridge there. All right, Jeff. Okay, now it's Agent J saying, oh, we got one big bug left. We got one really big bug. And then, look, there's a hot dog cart guy as well. Look at the hot dog cart.
I am still hungry from the lack of bee restaurant.
Ooh, hot dogs sound good. All right, Jeff. Oh, my God. Look at the size of that giant bug, Jeff. It's so big. We're going right towards it. Wait, Zed's saying, press the red button. It's like, oh, we got to press the red button.
How many eyes is that thing?
Press the red button. Oh, we pressed it. That's a super laser. We're spinning around in circles, Jeff. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, look, it's Agent J, and he's like, oh, these guys did okay, but you guys did really good. Like,
oh, did we?
We can see our score. You can see the average score down at the bottom of the screen. That's pretty cool. We beat them, Jeff. We beat the other team.
The alien team.
Yeah, those jerks. Oh, okay. Let's go down the corridor. Jeff, which ending do you think we get? Do you think we get the good one or the bad one?
I think we get the good one.
Okay. Well, then the good one, he's like, oh, he's making our suit. He says, it'll be ready next Wednesday. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you very much. And then we are Galaxy Defenders, Jeff. It has three different things. Galaxy Defenders, we are. Woo!
Heck yeah.
All right, where do we go get our suit? Oh, hey, it's Agent J again. He's like, that's pretty cool, right? Too bad everywhere. You don't remember it. Oh, no! Hey, Jeff, we're at this cool fair thing.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the bee restaurant.
We should probably do something. Hey, I heard there was a Men in Black ride somewhere on this in the park. We should go ride the Men in Black ride.
I want a hot dog.
All right. Oddly enough, I want a hot dog, too. All right, let's get out of here, Jeff. Goodbye.
Bye.
That is
so stupid.
Men in Black Alien Attack. And as you exit too, you can actually see your ride photo.
I do want a hot dog though.
Oh man.
When was the last time you had a hot dog?
I don't know. I was thinking, remember James's Coney Island down on Congress?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. They had those steamed buns. So good.
Do you remember? Yeah. You remember like the 3 months where the dude had the dirty water hot dog stand?
Yeah. And that was the best.
And then disappeared.
We put that guy's kids through college probably.
Twice. Yeah.
Anyway.
College and med school.
Men in Black. Alien Attack, that's pretty much it. I got some fun facts here. There is the MIB 900 Club. Dave told us a little bit about these guys. They're a Facebook group which will help you max out your Men in Black score. They even do ride-throughs with people to help you teach you how to get high scores. Like, literally, they have people who go to the park so often, you can get on their Facebook group and be like, oh, hey, we're going to be here on this day, and they'll wait there and they'll ride with you and point out stuff. They're that dedicated to it.
Which is awesome because it is a very cool ride, but it would be far easier for those people just to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. They can play their video games at home.
That's true.
Not have to, but then you don't get to be a part of the 900 Club.
Exactly. So the 900 Club, the reason it's called the 900 Club is because your score you have, they track your score as you play through the whole ride. The max you can get is 999999. So it's only 6 digits. And so the 900 Club is people that have gotten all nines. Very tough to do. Not super easy, but there are some tips and tricks you can do. There's a Frank the Pug, that apparently is worth a lot of points. Like right when you get to the crash site, if you look on the far right side, there's like a little kind of like a newspaper sort of, or like a magazine counter thingy.
Uh-huh.
And, he's like sitting on that. And so apparently if you shoot him, he's worth a lot.
Oh.
The guy we saw the Jurassic Park at is actually Steven Spielberg. So there is a Steven Spielberg animatronic in the ride. Well, actually, it's
It wasn't the real Steven Spielberg.
No, he's not actually there. I think it's actually like an alien holding a stick of Steven Spielberg's head, and he's got a Jurassic Park hat on. So that's kind of cool. Let's see here. This was the first ride with multiple endings, because based on how you score,
really,
it'll actually affect the outcome. And so there are three different.
Do you know what the difference between the endings is?
Depending on how well you do, you get different things. So there's three ones with animatronics that actually pop up and say different things. It's either Bug Bait, Cosmically Average, or Galaxy Defender. And so there's one where it's like the big guy, and he's like, you zigged when you should have zagged. And it's like, that's like if you're not doing so good. And then there's one where it's like an alien making your suit. I think those are the two animatronic versions. But then at the end, Will Smith actually pops up, or Agent J pops up. And at the very end, he's like, yeah, that was cool, right? Sorry, you won't remember it. But before that, when you first get there, when it has the two vehicles side by side and he says which one wins, apparently there's like 15 different versions of that.
Oh, wow.
Dave actually let me know here. The multiple endings are a few different things. And apparently I got somewhere they said it was over 35 endings. That's not true. There's a lot of endings, but not 35. I wonder if maybe they're saying like if you do like because it's multiple things kind of happen. I wonder if they're saying like, well, this and this are different from like this and that.
But right. Anyway. Just different permutations.
Yeah. So the two vehicles are compared in a high, medium, low to each other, resulting in multiple Will Smith clips at the end. This results in 15 possible comparisons between vehicles, all improvised and ad-libbed by Smith during the shoot, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
When he was there, they had a script for him, and he's like, I don't need that. Yeah. And like he just made up stuff. And they were like, okay, well, like this one, they did really good. This group did really bad. And he's like, And like he just did the whole thing on his own. They just kind of like went, all right,
Was like, I don't need this. I make this look good.
Individual vehicle scores result in three possible visual finales, an empty hallway, the coach alien, or Taylor alien. So you can just have it where there's nothing. There's just no aliens at all. I didn't know that. With resulting rankings, Bug Bait, Cosmically Average, Galaxy Defender. So, yeah, based on how you do, you can affect your ending. And I will say, a lot of people I've seen in the past, they'll grab two guns and be like, yeah, I'm going to use two. Don't do that, because it's based on average. So if you have, like, poor scores on two, it actually brings the whole average of the team down. Yeah. So even if you get on a vehicle and you have the ability to, take one gun, just use that if you're going for high score. Like, don't deal with multiple. You're not John Wick out there.
Unless you're a real life Butch Cassidy or probably be better to be a Sundance Kid because he was better shooting on the go.
Probably. What else do I have here? So when you're in the queue, as you're walking through the queue, there's some cool Easter eggs that a lot of people miss. So when the bug guys are there, which is really neat, there's a couple doors on the opposite wall of the bug guys. There's one that oxygen free room. If you pull the door handle for it, it blasts you with air. It's like, psh,
I think I did that.
Yeah.
You had me do that.
And then just past that, there's one in the fingerprint removal room. If you grab that door handle, like it makes shocking noises and like strobe lights go off too.
That's funny.
So I think Theme Park Stop pointed those out. So Theme Park Stop podcast. I forget the actual term for Theme Park Stop. So anyway, what else do I have? Yeah, that's pretty much it. And like you mentioned before, I think we talked about in our interview with Dave, the actual building itself is a giant M.
Mm-hmm.
And then over on the right of it is like the restrooms, and there's an I there. And there was going to be a B, which is going to be a restaurant. Never ended up doing it. So they have MI and then a gap. So maybe someday we'll see a B, but probably not, to be honest. It is one of the oldest attractions of the park now. It's been around for over 20 years at this point.
Yeah, you said 2000 it came out?
Yeah, 2000. So aside from, EC is the, you know, the grandfather of the whole thing. It's the only ride that's been there since opening day. And then Animal Actor Stage and then the Gory Gruesome Grotesque, or the Horror Makeup Show now. Those are the other two sort of shows that have been there since opening day.
Those are the three opening day things.
Yeah.
I've seen them all now.
You have?
Yeah.
I'm so happy you did. Yeah, I want to do an episode on the Horror Makeup Show just because I love that show so much.
Very good.
And I'd love to get someone who's like maybe in it. Like we might have to reach out to our friends at Universal to actually see if we can get an actor or actress from that show to talk about it, because I love that show so much. Big shout out to Theme Park History. They have a great video on the history of Men in Black. The Orlando Tourist, who I got some awesome, awesome tips on what to shoot at. I don't want to go through all of them because he goes in depth and you should really look at his videos. Dave Cobb, of course, big shout out to Dave because he gave me some Easter eggs and some information that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And Theme Park Stop as well, because they had a great interview with Dave, and they've done some Easter egg type stuff in the parks, including some Men in Black ones as well. So I pulled from all of them. They're all fantastic. Go check out all those other amazing theme park related content creators.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Spread the wealth.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, that's it for Men in Black. Can you think of anything else you want to, any questions you have that I might be able to answer about Men in Black before we move on?
I wonder, do you think we're done with the Men in Black movie franchise? Do you think there'll be another?
Well,
there have been four now.
Yeah, the original three.
I didn't see the Hemsworth one.
Men in Black International.
Yeah. Was it good?
No, unfortunately. Which I wanted it to be. I really like the Men in Black series. Men in Black 2 is I love, but Men in Black 3 was like a guilty pleasure. I would watch that movie almost every night for a while. Like, it was,
I don't
my
know
go-to
why it was
movie.
A guilty pleasure. It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I remember you were in love with that movie. It was so, like, it was a dad thing for you, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It was just, it was really nice. And it was just like, oh,
it's a really sweet relationship.
Fun movie.
Yeah.
And like everyone in it was great. And that the alien's name was Griff, which is kind of cool.
That's true.
And he wore orange. Not
do
gold.
Do you think, Dave was saying that all the aliens were designed for the mm-hmm. ride. I wonder if any of those aliens made their way into 2 or 3 or international, or could potentially make their way into the
I'm
canon
sure.
of a future movie.
Yeah, possibly.
That'd be neat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it when it goes both ways.
Yeah. How they kind of, they get
inform each other.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, thank you again. If you haven't ridden Men in Black, it's a fantastic ride. It's a lot of fun. It's a shooting gallery, which is, it's a rolling shooting gallery, which is, you know, I remember as a kid going to like Disneyland and doing the shooting gallery in the Old West and Frontierland. And so it's kind of cool to take it to a modern day. And I wish we got more stuff like it. We have, I say that, and we have gotten more stuff like that. Like, there's Midway Mania over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. There's the Web Slingers at Disney California Adventure, the new Spider-Man one. Definitely more modern version of it, but, you know.
You know what's cool about it is up until Men in Black, the only way you could enjoy a ride with your hands was, you just put them up, and then at some point you put them back down. And then if you're really feeling it, you can put them up again.
That's true.
But then down. That's it. That's all you could do with your hands and your arms on rides until the Men in Black ride, and then they change the game.
We are an audio podcast, but you should get a chance to go to youtube.com/annualpass. Jeff,
so
just for Jeff, going, wee! Okay, well, let's do some Q&A. Let's get through just a couple of questions here. We're running a little bit long, but this is a fun episode. So these are from the Greg Hall episode. I always try to let you know where they're from, because some of them are kind of related around what we're talking about.
Another very likable, cool person.
Yeah, and that was the one we did at Universal. I figured it was appropriate for this one. So Dirt Puppy says, with video content now a thing on the podcast, if you guys are invited to Universal Orlando, for example, could you talk about the snacks and food at theme parks while enjoying them? Because you include them in the intro, but have barely talked about eats outside of Dole Whip, and I want to see Jeff enjoy a churro and some funnel cake.
I want to see Jeff enjoy a churro.
Funny you mentioned that. We actually shot some stuff at Universal that we are still working on our YouTube channel right now, trying to figure out exactly when we can upload older stuff. Like,
it's complicated. We've only been in the YouTube game for like 17 years.
Yeah, but please,
we're still figuring it out.
If you have ideas and stuff you want to see us do on the YouTube channel, please let us know. We actually did shoot. Jeff, you ate a full Homer Simpson donuts at Simpsons Land.
Whee!
We had. Do you remember that the twisted tater we had?
Yeah.
We had the twisted tater that was like a hot dog with a was a potato wrapped around it.
It was bizarre. I loved it.
It was very, very interesting. We had those, and I think we shot video of that, but it was really dark, so I don't know if we could see that. But yeah, we are looking for more supplemental content for our YouTube channel, youtube.com/annualpass. So we're working on it, Dirt Puppy. So thank you for keeping us on our toes. I promise we'll get back to it. So. This is more of a kind of a story, but I thought this was appropriate for you, Jeff.
Okay.
This is from Tom Dave Poynton.
Tom Dave? The guy's got two first names?
I think so. Or maybe it's Tom Dave Poynton. So he's like, oh, over there.
Maybe.
Following on from the comment about Blackpool Pleasure Beach and Alton Towers ghosts, I can assure you that Alton Towers is 100% haunted.
Oh.
I used to run ghost hunts and ghost walks there for the staff, and we had so many things happen every time we did one. Once, I even got knocked to the ground by one, and we all ended up running out of the building screaming. The towers themselves date back to the 1700s, with a history of people living on the site for over 1,000 years. Part of the gardens is known as Slane Hollow, following a bloody battle during the Anglo-Saxon period, again about 1,000 years ago. It's truly an amazing place, and if you ever want an Alton Towers ghost expert, just give us a shout. Me and my partner did a podcast a couple years ago talking about the ghost stories and the history, and it ran way past 5 hours. We have to leave out a lot of stuff. If you get a chance, have a read up on the Chained Oak legend, as this forms the basis for an attraction called Hex, the Legend of the Towers, which truly is one of the greatest dark rides in the world. If you think about the Haunted Mansion as history, the walkthrough portion of the Hex starts in a Gothic building built in the 1800s, following a story from the same period. If you ever get a chance to get out of the UK, you've got to try to get on an Alton Towers ghost hunt. I'll gladly guide you through the best places to experience things. Oh, Wow.
Obviously, yes.
Yes.
It's probably been mentioned a few times in the past on this podcast, but Jack and I, we had a ghost hunting show for two seasons.
Two seasons of 16 episodes.
Yeah, we went. 17. We ghost hunted around the world. And I to throw onto this, I will say, out of all the places we did our hunts in, mm-hmm. the most haunted place I can remember where I felt legitimately like this place was chock full of ghosts was in England.
Yeah, Michelin Priory.
Michelin Priory, yeah, where Thomas Sackville was.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one where I got spooked.
That place was scary.
Yeah.
And talk about, like, there was stuff happening like every 5 minutes. Yeah. It was nuts.
It was good. Yeah.
So I have no doubt that if that place has been around since 1700s, it is haunted by similarly motivated ghosts. Yeah.
So Tom, Dave, we will reach out to you when we go to the UK. Ben, make it happen. Get us a flight to the UK.
Wasn't Steve Dave a character in the Kevin Smith movie?
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do. This seems like a good time to also update you guys on the Stephen King ride stuff.
Oh yeah, please.
So it seems like the Shining haunted house for Halloween Horror Nights was based on the Stanley Kubrick film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the reason why there aren't more is because of Stephen King.
Really?
Apparently he's historically been against haunted houses featuring his properties, so it's very unlikely, unless it can be worked out with the movie studio behind the adaptation like they did for The Shining House.
That's fair.
That's interesting.
If that's not how he wants his IP to be represented, then I respect that.
I get so. All right. All right. So now I every week I ask the audience a question, and you guys in the comments over on Rooster Teeth, you answer that question. I randomly pick someone to send a autographed park map to. The question that I had during the Greg Hall episode was, what would be your dream Jurassic Park ride? And so this was, obviously Greg Hall. He worked on Velocicoaster. Felt appropriate for that. Soul Sarah said, I would love a Jurassic Park ride centered around the scene where the kids are hiding in the kitchen from the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Something where you control the ride similar to Smuggler's Run would be incredible. Or a track-free ride like Rise of the Resistance would be so scary and fun and a great opportunity for new technology to be used. That would be fun.
Have you, this is a video game.
Yes.
You played Gears of War 3, yes?
Yes.
Do you remember the scene in the level where you get swallowed by a giant worm and you have to make your way through it?
The Contra level, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be fun if you got eaten by a T-Rex and you had to you went through the mouth and you had to shoot your way out the other end.
That was actually the Back to the Future ride. You got swallowed by a T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
Ace of Aces 007 says there should absolutely be a Jurassic Park ride that recreates the sequence in the first movie where they're trying to outrun the T-Rex in the Jeep. Even though Ian's question of do you think they'll have that on the tour was a rhetorical question, Universal's answer must be resounding yes. And the ride would have to be the ride would have the perfect tagline, must go faster. Yeah, that's funny. They actually, in the new Universal Beijing that they just opened up, they have a Jurassic World ride where you run from the Indominus Rex.
Oh, really?
You're in a Jeep and it's like chasing after you, like a full size animatronic is chasing after you. Really awesome.
I haven't seen the last Jurassic Park movie. There have been two Pratt movies, right?
Yeah,
so I saw
worlds.
The first one.
The third one is Wrapped.
Okay,
but they haven't filmed it yet.
Well, I saw the first one, and I vaguely remember that one of the attractions that you could ride on in World was a giant clear ball,
the gyrosphere.
The gyrosphere.
Yeah, they actually Kiwara brought up the gyrosphere.
Oh, right. That was cool. That would be neat.
They say in a perfect world scenario, I would love a gyrosphere from Jurassic World with robot dinosaurs. Imagine a free to roam area with the dinosaurs spread around, just roaming and interacting with each other. There could be small challenges like obstacle courses or bumper spheres.
That's interesting. Open world ride.
Yeah. Kind of like choose your own adventure, sort of where you go. Sarah Bellum, I love this one. Sarah Bellum says, I would love a Dr. Ian Malcolm themed tunnel of love. Love finds a way. And the winner I picked randomly from everyone who answered is Rockfish93. I know they are technically the bad guys, but an engine-style shooter car ride like the old-school Men in Black ride. Theme from the scene from Jurassic Park 2 where they are tranquilizing the dinosaurs. I think that would be an interesting with a leaderboard for who the employees of the day are and the best car run. So there you go. I thought that was appropriate. It feels right, right?
I think it's a great idea. I also love the idea of a daily leaderboard.
Yeah. Kind of show you like how you're doing. That'd be kind of cool. I'm surprised they haven't done that, really.
It would definitely incent people to ride.
Yeah, ride over and over and over. Then you have the same jerks as like just topping out the leaderboard every day. I don't know. That'd be cool, though.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I would dig that. So thank you very much, Rockfish. I'll reach out to you through email and get you that map. And this week's question, you can answer in the comments. Please do so, is what franchise deserves a good shooting gallery? So, like, what franchise would you like to see with a cool shooting gallery style ride? I mean, like, we've got Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
There's Toy Story Midway Mania, which is over at Hollywood Studios. We've got the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Too much Toy Story there.
Yeah, we've got the Web Slingers over at Disney California Adventure, which is Spider-Man. What would you like to see? What franchise do you think could make a cool shooting gallery style thing? Like a Pirates of the Caribbean, except there's targets. You can, like, knock hats off of stuff. Like, what do you think? Let me know in the comments over on roosterteeth.com. Please go over there. And you guys have been asking fantastic questions as well and leaving comments. I read all of them. So please go over there, leave comments. It warms my heart when I go through the comments and pick up on what you guys are saying. So thank you very much. So that's going to do it for today, Jeff.
Already?
Yeah. It's Happy New Year. It's December 30th when this thing's coming out. So
good luck on your run.
Thank
you. It's in like
you.
9 days or 10 days.
We'll have one more episode before I hit my run. It's January 9th. January 9th. Going on it.
You're
going
to do great.
I just hope I finish. I'll be happy if I finish. That's all I want. I've got 7 hours. So when I did my last training, I did basically 2/3 of a marathon and I finished in 4 hours, which tracks for roughly 6 hours.
I'm going to say this right now. If it comes down to it and Ben has to fly to Florida and run the marathon with you to push you along, that's what we're going to do. Doesn't matter. No matter what it takes.
Since you're not using, can I borrow your electric bike and just take that the whole time?
Yeah, no? Well, I'm not using it. Yeah, go for it.
Well, Jeff, you learned anything today?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I learned so much stuff.
And again, special shout out to Dave Cobb for hooking us up with some great information. If you didn't hear his interview last week, go listen to it. He was
not
such
35, 15.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, he really is.
And go take a listen. And so, Jeff, you and I, we're going to have to, I'll give you some of these. I'll watch the Orlando Tourist video with you, and we can get some tips on how to score really high scores. And hopefully,
it would be cool if we could join the 900 Club.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get we'll have a fan meetup down there, and maybe we'll get someone from the 900 Club to join us and like give tips for everyone, and we can just wreck the other vehicle. It'll be like a car full of 999s and then like one vehicle of like tourists having a good time. Like, no fun here. We're going for high scores.
Keep spinning.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, all the pass holders out there. You guys are the absolute best. Make sure to grab a shirt, grab a pin. We've got a new pin starter kit coming soon with multiple pins. That's very cool. Grab the Gale Fox's beautiful poster as well. And
if anybody wants my interested, I potentially could sell this orange golf ball. Anybody who's looking for an orange golf ball?
Yeah, that's the one we stole from Florida when we were there.
Steal it. We appropriated it on accident.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. You guys seriously are the best. The pass holders are the greatest community we have at Rooster Teeth, and we love you very much.
That is not hyperbole. That is true.
And take care of yourself. Stay safe and have a happy new year. If you're listening to this live, otherwise, have a happy day. Bye.
Bye.